Could we turn, please, to John chapter 13? John chapter 13. Lord, we would just worship you and praise you again, and we thank you for all your love towards us, all your goodness. And we pray that we would now see your heart towards us, your heart towards the lost, your heart of compassion, that we might share that with you and that we might live to your glory. Open up the words now, we pray, in a real and a fresh way, that we might be walking with you and rejoicing afresh in you and in your character. In the name of Jesus, amen. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject of a godly basis for ministry. And as we think about the whole subject of ministering to the lost and ministering to each other and to other Christians, we sometimes, I think, lose the focus of what it means to minister to people and what really we are meant to be doing. Now, in this situation, Jesus, when he is going to be betrayed, he is in the position where he is ministering to the disciples. And in many ways, what he does here is a picture of what he does throughout his ministry. Jesus is here, and he's ministering to the disciples, and he's washing their feet. Now, he is doing something for them that needs to be done. They are there with dirty feet, and their feet need to be washed. Jesus is not doing some theoretical act in ministering to them. They have a specific need that needs his help, so he comes and he ministers to them, and he washes their feet. He doesn't remove from their feet theoretical dirt, but he removes from their feet actual dirt, the dust that they've been walking in the day on their way to the meal. And I think sometimes as we think about ministering to the lost, we lose focus of the reality of the situation in which they are. We sometimes almost see that that their sin is almost theoretical, that what they're actually being delivered from is theoretical, and we almost get lost in the theology of it. We pray that the lost should be saved, But sometimes we're almost in that position where we are only praying for that because we know it's the right thing. And we sort of know it's God's will, and so we pray that they'd get saved. And almost these people start to become statistics. They start to become just numbers. And we want to see 10 more people saved. And we lose sight sometimes of the fact that these people are dead in trespasses and sins, and they're in a position where they desperately need the salvation of God. And instead of seeing their specific need and wanting to deliver them by the grace of God, to have them delivered out of darkness into light, we're just seeing them as something statistical. We could be working with figures. We could be accountants and just working with numbers. We so lose sight of the reality of the situation that they're in. And I think that is sometimes the reasons why our evangelism is not more effective, because they've become numbers. It's just a desire, as it were, to add numbers to the kingdom, and we don't see them in their real state. Now, when the Lord Jesus was just beginning his earthly ministry, we know he went into the temple and he read from the book of Isaiah. And Jesus reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, in each of these things that Jesus says that he has been anointed to do, they are very specific things working in the lives of people. You see, sometimes we so much think that Christianity is about doctrine and just learning the truths and learning the Bible, and fail really to see that when Jesus ministered on earth, his ministry was to set people free. His ministry was to heal the brokenhearted. His ministry was to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, liberty for them that are bruised. This was a very practical ministry of God entering in, the Lord Jesus entering into people's lives and bringing the change that was necessary in their lives. This was not some theory. This was not just some endless study of theoretical theology. But this was ministering into the depths of people's lives. And this is really what Christianity is about. Not a social gospel, but ministering spiritually to the spiritual needs of people. And I believe if we fail to see that we fail to grasp Christianity. As Jesus went about, he was teaching. But his teaching was there really to set people free. It was to bring liberty. It was to bring light. And sometimes I think almost we can be blinded by the endless doctrine. We maybe go to so many ministry meetings. We go to so many places where we're taught theoretical theology. And it can blind us to the truth and the reality of the situation that people are in. And our role as Christians is really to be in that place where we are going out into the world and seeing people in their specific place of need and seeing what they need to be delivered from. And if we learn anything, we should be learning how to do that effectively. Not so that we know exactly what's going to happen in the end times, but to go out and to be able to speak to people in the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that we can bring them into liberty, those who are captives, that we can speak in a way that enables the blind to see, both literally and spiritually. And I wonder, is that our greatest concern this morning, that we are able to minister to other people? Or is our greatest concern that we increase in knowledge, and as it were, of just the written word and the theory? And so, as I said, that what Jesus did in this place where he was washing the feet of the disciples, that symbolizes what he did throughout his ministry, in that he was, as it were, bending down and reaching people in the place of their need. We know that is what he did in the very fact that he came to earth. Here it speaks about him taking off his garments, laying aside his garments and getting a towel and girding himself with the towel and bending down and meeting their need. And we know that speaks about the fact that Jesus laid aside his glory when he came to earth, and he clothed himself, he girded himself with human flesh in order to minister to us. And so throughout the ministry of the Lord, that was what he was doing, as it were, bending down, washing the feet of people. But he was ministering to specific needs. He was not preaching a theoretical gospel. He was not just teaching Christian truth, but in every situation in which he was ministering, he was saying something, he was doing something to bring a real change in the lives of those that he was ministering to. But the reason that the Lord was able to minister in this way, we find repeatedly through Scripture, was that he had compassion on those that he came to save. And obviously the very reason that he came was because of his compassion for us. He came into the world to save us as sinners. And John 3:16 speaks of God so loving the world. It was the fact that Jesus came was motivated by the love of God, that he sent his only begotten Son. And so Jesus came to minister to save us from sin, but it was motivated out of the love of God, the tremendous love of God, that not only sees the problem, but comes and does something about it. And if we really have the love of God, the sort of love that God has, that specific love, the Greek word agape, as many of us will know, that if we have that kind of love, then that will cause us to go and to minister to other people. And I wonder, is that something that's genuine in our hearts today, that we have that kind of love that will cause us to go and to minister to other people? We find this compassion, this love of the Lord shown again and again. Matthew 9 from verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And we see there it's speaking about the compassion that he had, that he was moved in verse 36 with compassion. And this is something that we see over and over again in Mark chapter 1. It speaks about a leper coming to Jesus and beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying, "If you will, you can make me clean." And it says, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." Now it was the fact that Jesus was moved with compassion for the man that enabled him to minister unto him. This was not a man with theoretical leprosy. This was a man with real leprosy. A man who was obviously suffering. He had no kind of life as a result of his leprosy. He would have to stay away from other people because he was unclean. And he was not allowed to have that contact with other people. What sort of a life did that man have? And so Jesus stepped in to his life and moved with compassion. He was willing to heal him because he was moved with compassion. And Jesus was not just thinking about, this is a man with leprosy, this is some theoretical thing that doesn't affect me. But it says that he was moved with compassion for him. And where the word compassion in the Greek, it speaks about something coming from the bowels, a yearning within you. When you perhaps, we've experienced that, a yearning for someone. You see someone in a desperate situation and you're yearning from deep within you. And that's the word it's speaking of here. And Jesus was yearning for this man. He was overwhelmed with love for this man. And so he says, I'm willing. I'm willing to set you free from the thing that is binding you. I'm willing to set you free from your leprosy. I wonder, do we have that kind of heart for the lost? I wonder, do we have that heart for those that we see in a desperate situation, the person who is backslidden and they're far from God and they've known God? I wonder, do we have that heart of compassion that yearns for them and says, I've got to help that person, I've got to bring them back to the road where they should be walking on? That's the heart of God. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus. But it is extraordinary that the heart that the Lord had, even in the small things. Matthew chapter 15, this is the account of the feeding of the 4,000, verse 32, and it says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. I have compassion. He has compassion on them in this situation, because they're hungry and they haven't eaten. This is the care that the Lord is having for his own sheep. Seeing their needs, seeing the situation in which they find themselves. And he is not thinking of his own situation, but he is burdened for their situation. And it causes him to minister unto them in the way that is appropriate for them at that time. Not needing the healing at that moment, but they're needing food. And so God, the Lord Jesus, ministers to their specific need at that moment, which is to be fed. And he does a miracle there, appropriate for that time, and ministers food to the hungry. I wonder, do we see the different situations that people are in? Not always, not that it's always going to be the same situation. Not treating everyone the same, because people are going to have the different situations and their different specific needs. But I wonder, do we come in and in the power of God and with Holy Spirit discernment, come in and minister to people with an eye to see their specific needs, not just filled with our theory and our theology and so forth, but seeing their specific need and ministering to them according to what their need is. And of course, the great need that most people that we're ministering to will have is to hear the gospel. But I wonder, have we come to the place in the Lord Jesus where we are able to minister the gospel in such an appropriate way that people, when we speak to them, are broken, when they're challenged, where they're changed when we speak to them? And this is a challenge for all of us, to have that kind of compassion that the Lord had, that he could minister to people and the change took place. Even thinking about the way the Lord spoke to Nicodemus and was able to minister to him in his own specific need of hearing the gospel, and hearing it in that particular way, hearing that he needed to be born again, a man who was a Jew of the Pharisees and having great head knowledge, and yet he needed a specific word from God that would be right for him. He needed to know that he needed to be born again, and a different word from the Lord would have not been appropriate. And sometimes we need to be speaking to people about the law in order that they might come under conviction of sin. But this man would have known the law. And Jesus, in a sense, didn't have to come and labor the law with him. But he did need to say, you need to be born again. But because Jesus had the heart for the lost, and for each individual, seeing them in the situation in which they were, he was able to minister in a way that was appropriate to them. And not thinking of himself, and not thinking of the way that he had ministered in past times, but coming and giving a specific word that would minister to their specific need. So I wonder, is that the situation in which we find ourselves, where we are having this compassion for the lost? In that passage we read a few moments ago in Matthew 9, it spoke of Jesus going and preaching the gospel and healing sickness and every disease, and then saying how he was moved with compassion because the sheep fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. But the interesting thing is what Jesus said after that. Having been moved with compassion, Jesus said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And because the heart of the Lord Jesus was for the lost and was caring for their situation, his heart was moved with compassion. Therefore, he said, we need more laborers to go out and preach the gospel. And that was his desire. And so in many ways, it is what the Lord is calling us to do, to be faithful laborers in the gospel and willing to go out. But in that place, spiritually, where we can minister to them in a way that is appropriate to them. And as I said earlier, the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus was done in this way. In Philippians 2, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And this is then speaks of Jesus fulfilling this commandment. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And so the Lord Jesus was willing to go in to do what was necessary in order to minister to the needs of the lost. There he was in the place of glory with the Father, but he was willing to lay aside so many of the powers and the glory that were his as God in order to minister to other people. And I think sometimes we are not willing to do what it takes in order to minister to the lost. In many ways, we can stand afar off. We can stand in our place where we are enjoying our good teaching and are enjoying our, as it were, theoretical walk with God. But we don't like to get our hands dirty. And we don't like to get into the place where it's going to cause us some trouble and cause us some difficulty and cause us some pain in order to minister to the lost. And when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, as it were, he was getting his hands dirty in order to minister to them. And if we are going to reach the lost, we are going to have to step out and cause ourselves some trouble and cause ourselves some pain and some grief in order to reach them. And so the Lord Jesus, it says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're very familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And no doubt we always see ourselves as the Samaritan, the one who's helping helping the wounded man. But it speaks of this certain man who fell amongst thieves, and he was stripped of his clothes and wounded and left half dead. And a priest comes down and he sees him and he passes by on the other side. I wonder if he was thinking he didn't want to defile himself, he didn't want to contaminate himself, he didn't want to affect his own, what he felt was his own walk with God in order to minister to this man. And the Levite, it says, looked on him and passed by on the other side. The Levite, it seems, was in a similar situation really to the priest, and he passes by on the other side, and there is nothing within him when he sees him that will cause him to minister to him. And both the priest and the Levite, they both look at him, they both see the man, and nothing happens within them. But then it says, a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. And just as the Lord Jesus, when he saw people, that was the thing that moved him to compassion for the lost. So it was that this Samaritan, as he saw the person in their specific place of need, that he had compassion on them. But it was this, that he saw the need. He saw the real specific situation in which they found that he found himself. He saw that he was wounded. He saw that he was naked. And that was the thing that moved him to compassion. And I wonder, are we willing to look into the lives of other people and to see their situation in order that it might move us to compassion? I wonder if the priest and the Levite went by, that they didn't really look properly. They didn't look long enough to see the need. They saw something, they saw something they thought was nasty, and they moved quickly on. And when we see the situation, when we see the lost, when we see people in sin, in lives that are a horrible mess, and they may be behaving in an unpleasant way, do we wait, do we look long enough to see their situation and to be moved with compassion for them, so that we might then minister to them and in the name of the Lord Jesus bring deliverance for them, these people who are captive of the devil? In Luke 13 it speaks about a woman who had Luke 13 verse 11, it speaks about a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And then the ruler of the synagogue comes and he speaks to the people, and it's curious, he speaks to the people and says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, you hypocrites. And he speaks about, he says, does not one of you, each one of you on the Sabbath, loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And I wonder if we are like the ruler of the synagogue there, and we are so comfortable with our theoretical Christianity that we are not ever willing to move it from the theory into the practice and to see people's need and to be in a position to set them free. This ruler of the synagogue would have seen this woman perhaps time after time, perhaps all the time through that 18 years of her sickness. The ruler of the synagogue would have seen her. But he could have never really been concerned about her situation enough to do something. Or when Jesus came along and ministered to her and brought healing, he would have been rejoicing. He would have been glorifying God like the woman was and the others that were there. And that man, though he had the religion, yet he didn't have the eyes to see someone in need. And as we said before, that was the way the Lord Jesus ministered when he was on earth continually. It was about the meeting of people's needs, whatever that need was. As he preached the gospel, as he taught, it was about ministering to their needs in order that they might be set free and in order that they might be delivered. I wonder, do we have that heart of God? Do we have that heart of compassion? Time after time it says in the New Testament that Jesus was moved with compassion, and so he healed. The two blind men, Jesus was moved with compassion, and so he healed them. He was moved by the situation in which they found themselves. Two men there together. Matthew 20. Unable to see. They said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What wilt ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Again, Jesus had compassion on them. And that was the thing that enabled him to minister to them. I wonder this morning, is that our need? That we don't have eyes to see the lost, that we don't have that heart of love within us to be able to minister to other people. And yes, we love the Lord, and we trust him, and we believe him, and we do things out of obedience to him. Yet we've never crossed that place from just doing it out of obedience into the place where we are filled with love, where we have compassion for the lost. And if that's the way that the Lord walks, then that's the way that we should walk. Just returning to John 13, Jesus says, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Jesus, there is our great example, one who was moved with compassion. I wonder, are we willing to follow in his footsteps and get such a vision of the need of the lost that we can minister to them and see to them delivered as the Lord Jesus did? Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we bless you, we praise you that you had that perfect compassion, that your heart, O God, was moved with the situation in which people found themselves. Lord, that even now you are touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Lord, that you care even now for what the situation that we find ourselves in today, when we are in a place of trouble or weakness or doubt or concern. We praise you, Lord, that you even see that now and are moved with compassion. You are touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, we pray that you would give us that Holy Spirit enabling, that we would be able to see the needs of the lost, and Lord, to minister to them in a way that is appropriate. Oh God, really to feel their need, to see their need and to feel it from within. Oh God, we pray with all the ones that we are ministering to, the young people, the older ones. Lord, that we would have that heart of compassion that doesn't see them as just statistics and individuals coming in who need to be saved, but as people who need a genuine change in their life, that they need to be set free from the things that are binding them. Oh God, we pray that you'd have mercy upon us and bring us out into the light. Bring us out into the place where we can minister to others in the power of the Holy Spirit, that your name would be glorified. In the name of Jesus.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Just in closing, if we recognise that we've not been walking as the Lord Jesus, it's not really the first thing to step forward and say, right, I'm now going to do this. But the first thing is to repent of the fact that we haven't been walking that compassion. We haven't been seeing the needs of the lost. We haven't been caring. So perhaps it should be within our hearts, first of all, to come to the Lord and confess where we have failed to live like him and failed to see the needs of the lost. And then he gives us the grace and the enabling to start to minister in his way. Let's pray. Lord, we would confess that we don't live as you did when you were on earth, ministering and seeing the needs of people. We confess that, our God. And we ask you to forgive us for the way that we have been living in such theoretical Christianity, more concerned about
ourselves and our walk rather than ministering to the needs of others. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to this, and this is the ministry you've given us, and we pray that we'd be faithful in this. Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. We pray that you'd bless us through the rest of the day. You'd bless the meeting this evening, Lord, that we might, for the gospel meeting, be in that position where we were able to minister to the needs of the lost in a way that is appropriate to them, that we might see souls saved, Lord, for their sake and for your glory. So we bless you now and give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen.